Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 16th, 2017. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm glad to have you here. And we want to send a special shout-out to Mariah the Marathoner, who is indisposed, can't be with us today, but we hope she's back soon. All right? Get well soon, Mariah. Anyway, so DR, there is a meeting going on over in Bonn, Germany. Right? Germany is a great place, makes great beer, all that kind of stuff. They're also having a meeting of environmentalists called the Conference of the Parties, the COP, the Conference of Parties to the Environmental Framework of how to address climate change. Been a lot going on there, DR. So just to get everybody straight, the latest conference is the 23rd in a series. A couple of years ago, I guess, was COP21 was where they signed the Paris Accord, and now these annual conferences in different cities around the world are working out the details of how the Paris Accord will be implemented. In particular, right now they're figuring out how people will be reporting and discussing their the carbon dioxide emissions reductions they promised, how those are going to be reported, and, you know, there's a lot of sort of nitty-gritty rules making when they work out the details in the meeting. But this year has been, there's this big meeting in Bonn, Germany. Of course, this meeting is the first one where the orange tornado, the orange Julius, the guy who would be president, is calling the shots. And there's lots of goings on over there. So tell me, DR, what's your take? What have you seen? What have you seen from the Bonn conference? What do you think people ought to know about?
Well, the two main developments that have taken place so far is the civil disobedience being aimed at the Trump envoys, most notably this fellow by the name of George Banks, who, based on the photo of him, the New York Times looks like he could make a good living as a Robert Downey Jr. impersonator in terms of his looks. But nevertheless, he was basically going on and on and on about how, you know, fossil fuels and nuclear are going to be, you know, the cutting edge of energy for decades to come. And people who recognize the threat that poses made it really clear that they disagree. One person, according to Politico, chanted that clean coal is BS. Another chanted, liars, you're a bunch of liars. There was another incident where a number of protesters, showed up at one of these events where the Trump team was going on and on and did a riff on Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA and basically changing the lyrics to reflect, you know, the foolishness of Trump's team on climate. And also a very interesting development that, for the first time, governments involved in these talks recognize that indigenous groups can play a leadership role, according to The Guardian, in protecting forests and keeping global temperatures at a safe level, that the critical role of the First Peoples finally being recognized after years, you know, people who are on the front lines of climate change, governments of the countries that have sort of disregarded the threat being posed to the indigenous groups are now saying, yes, you folks are in the driver's seat. You can push us. You can press for more and better and stronger action to reduce emissions.
I mean, and that translates. So I guess, I mean, what comes to my mind is Canada, which has treated its indigenous people much more, I don't know how much more gently, but I mean, it seems like Canada has a stronger, more coherent voice up there. What does it mean? Is that Inuit, right? Do they get to go to Bonn and be represented at the conference table? I mean, does the report tell you much about what the mechanics of that mean? Or is it just kind of we recognize that you're going to get hit first and hardest and we worry about you?
Well, the Guardian notes that that the French President Emmanuel Macron was scheduled to meet with indigenous representatives in Bonn, and also other governments are also meeting with indigenous representatives. The Guardian notes, quote, "Government should now be obliged to talk to indigenous communities when drawing up national climate targets, though their influence remains to be seen," unquote. It's going to be interesting within the context of the United States, not only with all the controversy involving Trump, but remember this issue that was brought up in the whole Dakota Access controversy is that there are certain Native American tribes that are defensive of fossil fuels, and the controversy of that, whereas other Native American tribes point out that, well, hey, these fossil fuels are killing us. Even among, you know, in indigenous populations, there's this sort of, you know, debate between, you know, is it time to move away, or do we still hold on to it for a little bit longer? Even though the science is saying it's time to move away.
Any group of humans will have those disagreements. But what I hear you saying is that this is, and it's a good thing, right? It's a recognition that these people deserve a seat at the table. And we can only hope that that kind of thing is extended to more and more. Because, I mean, I think, for example, the island and nations of the Pacific, and I apologize for not knowing the group's name, right? But, I mean, they, of course, have very little political power other than moral power, and they play a fairly big role. In fact, I think you were saying last week that Fiji is, in fact, the host country or something, even though the whole meeting is happening in Bonn. Fiji, the little tiny Fiji, is the one who's kind of running the show, and it gives voice to those people. And so I suppose in the same vein, this recognition of the reality of the indigenous populations of the world. Well, that's good. That's good. I think I just want to go back to the Trumpian BS that it's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the U.S. sponsored a pavilion or a one of these workshops, right? I suppose this is like any other conference, right, where there's workshops you can go to. You can go from room to room, listen to different topics. The U.S. had this workshop where it was basically saying, yeah, that nuclear and clean coal had a role to play in fighting climate change, and this was the future. And that was the context in which people were chanting. And I saw a video of hundreds of people walking out of the pavilion there, right?
Yep, exactly, exactly.
I don't know. So the I will put up a link to my a new favorite podcast called Sustainababble, where they're interviewing it's a British show. They're interviewing a woman who was, I guess, from Friends of the Earth, who was in Bonn. And of course, it's very interesting to listen to Europeans discussing what the United States is up to. And of course, they were not complimentary to the U.S. at all, but said it's not that much different from Obama, that Obama wasn't that great either. And, of course, I think Obama walks on water is a funny term here in this circumstance. But, I mean, Obama was as good as we could get, and they're less impressed with him. So, anyway, so there's that. And then we're still in Bonn. I hear that there was a curious incident. Well, okay, before we go there, our friend – of course, not my personal friend, but our sort of friend in principle, Mr. Bloomberg, and who's the other guy? Bloomberg and
Jerry Brown.
Bloomberg and Jerry Brown. They were the ones that were running the America's Pledge, right? So keep in mind that we've talked, you and I, DR, talked a long time about the individual nationally determined promises about how much carbon would be reduced. Jerry Brown and Bloomberg have a big effort to bring to Bonn people in the United States, what you would call subnational groups, right? Subnational being cities and states, basically, who had promised to meet the Paris criteria in their own cities, right? And of course, we talked last week, the state of Massachusetts has passed a bill that Massachusetts will meet its share of the climate of the Paris Accords, right? That's we're committed to do that. So Bloomberg was trying to make the case that there was a substantial base of people in the United States still trying to meet the promises that Obama made, and that we're still in, hashtag still in, right? Did you see anything about that?
Yes, there was what I thought was a rather unfortunate incident where Jerry Brown was speaking about, you know, America's remaining leadership despite the federal inaction on this issue, where a number of protesters began booing and chanting "Keep it in the ground," which visibly irritated Jerry Brown, who then responded, "Keep it in the ground," something to the effect of "Keep it in the ground, fine. Let's put you in the ground so we can continue with this effort." And while
That's what a cranky 70-year-old guy says.
While Brown was faulted for that remark, I have to say I don't get the logic of booing Brown within this context. Bill McKibben had an interesting piece in The New Yorker where he talked about one of the reasons why climate activists are frustrated with Brown is that, unlike governors Mario Cuomo in New York and Larry Hogan in Maryland, he won't ban fracking. And basically, Brown is perceived as being reluctant to really lay the smackdown on the fossil fuel industry in California. But there's another side to the argument. There was a comment, there was a Daily Coast piece on this, and somebody in the comment section made an interesting point where he said that the reason why Brown is kind of pulling his punch, to the extent that he's pulling his punches on the fossil fuel industry in California, is that he is concerned about setting in motion a series of events that could once again return political control in California to deniers. That mm-hmm. there is a car culture in California, and it's one thing to try to encourage more people to drive cleaner vehicles in California. It's quite another thing to really say, and you will have to say either explicitly or implicitly, that people need to drive less. Mm-hmm. If Brown begins to argue, even implicitly, that people need to drive less, that will create a political backlash that will be exploited by the allies of the fossil fuel industry, and perhaps Brown wants to avoid that. But what really irritated me in terms of the booing is that, you know, this is a war. It's a war for a stable future. And in a war, you don't shoot your own allies. And Saving Private Ryan, Matt Damon didn't shoot Tom Hanks, you know, that sort of thing. And you know, you have to follow the old Sinead O'Connor rule. You got to fight the real enemy, I say. Well, and I don't think the real enemy is Brown.
Yeah, I mean, so here's poor Governor Brown being booed by people as he is at the climate. And they are booing him over the fact that he won't ban fracking. And I think that mm-hmm. from the McKibben piece, I thought it was quite interesting that McKibben partitioned the problem basically into saying there's a supply side and a demand side. So the demand mm-hmm. side is how much you want to drive, right? And you can mm-hmm. preach about being virtuous and having a green home and, you know, putting solar panels, that's reducing your demand in a sense. Mm-hmm. But then the supply side is the fracking side, right? That mm-hmm. if you're building the supply infrastructure, you're committing to, you know, a long future of using that supply. I think it's an interesting mm-hmm. question of whether or not, I mean, I agree with you that, you know, we don't have enough friends in this fight, and Jerry Brown is certainly a friend, how to mm-hmm. navigate the political minefields. But, you know, at what point should climate hawks be ready to call out people that are getting credit but not mm-hmm. taking on the full, what do you call it, the seriousness of the situation? And I mean, that's a question that can be launched to anyone, any human being, myself included. Say, I still drive a car, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. And so at what point, when do you hold Jerry Brown to being a perfect, you said imperfect ally, and I think that's the right word. He's imperfect. He's not, like, maybe he's not doing every single thing. And the question is, mm-hmm. should we expect him to do every single thing? And yeah. I mean, what do you think?
Well, the interesting thing about McKibben's piece is that when we talk about politicians being concerned about either backlash or a lack of response by the American electorate to calls to take the most aggressive steps possible to reduce emissions, I thought about a man McKibben admires and a lot of people admire, Senator Bernie Sanders, who, when he ran for president, took a very, very strong stance about reducing emissions. But did Sanders ever say, do you recall any kind of speech on the campaign trail which Sanders said people need to drive less and people need to consume less? And if he didn't say that, why do you think he didn't say that?
I think people do urge people to drive less, to use a more efficient car, and so there's this distinction between being virtuous in your private life, right, versus building new infrastructure that is, you know, and this is the place that Jerry Brown is governor of, I guess, one of the largest nations in the world, right? California is a pretty big nation in its own right. He's faced with that. And I guess I will refrain from having an opinion. Maybe in this case, I don't. I won't jump into the fray. I'm disappointed that we're booing our own guy in front in Bonn. But on the other hand, you say, you know, if we're serious, then we got to stop fracking. And how do we? I suppose the pressure on a guy like Brown to have this kind of protest in front of him helps, right? Keeps him focused.
Right? Exactly. And with regard to the importance of California, you know, with the gubernatorial election next year, you know, whoever is running, they're going to have to face the same quandary if they yeah. win. Yeah. That how far do you go, without and both doing what you need to do to reduce emissions and also in the back of your mind thinking, you know, what if I take a step that causes a backlash that throws power back into the hands of the deniosaurs?
Yeah, you have to. Yes. So I think that, look, there's lots. I guess the Bonn conference ends up this week if it hasn't ended already, right? It should be rolling up pretty soon. We will try to get some sort of wrap up. But I know that, you know, Al Gore was there. There were pictures of Ed Markey there. Sheldon Whitehouse was there. A lot of U.S. senators were there making the case that there's still a large and enthusiastic contingency in the United States to address climate. I hope that message gets through to the people in Bonn. God knows. Well, yeah, we probably ought to put it down there. That's a convenient break point. Bonn is wrapping up. We'll be getting ready for the next conference of the parties, which probably happen, I don't know what, within a year, right? But Bonn COP23 is over. So, what I'll do is I'll put up links to most of what we talked about at the blog. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find a link to that blog on the Facebook page. The Facebook page is /massclimateaction. And, of course, there's lots of other interesting stuff on the Facebook page from MCAN that you can follow. So friend it. You can listen to this show directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, and a bunch of other directories. You can also find us on iTunes, of course, by searching for Massachusetts Climate Action. So we'll close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for being here, DR.
Thanks.
Thanks to all you guys for listening in. We look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.